श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय। उसने श्री श्री राधा रमन जी की जय, श्री भक्त बंद की जय, गौर भक्त बंद की जय, गौर प्रमाण हरि। Pranam to all of you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for your association, your presence. Special thanks to Rasik Mohan Prabhu and all the Bhaktabandham Gan, all the associates here, which are very much honoring the name that makes them be who they are, Bhaktabandham. So I'm feeling very much blessed and fortunate to have the opportunity to be in your association. So today, I thought about sharing some words, and it's not casualty that Shri Gaur Nityananda are here, quite close to us. Some words about the charming supremacy of Gaur Tattva, and how, of course, that it's intrinsically connected with Krishna Lila, Gaur Lila, how one is acting as the natural extension of the other, and so on. So I would like to begin offering some attempt of Pushpanjali Katha in connection to Gaur Lila, as we very usually may conceive it as the giver of the gift of Krishna Lila. Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say sometimes, first the giver, then the gift. So generally we pay our pranam first to Sriman Mahaprabhu and associates as the gateway to the reality of Braj, and then we may attempt to say some words regarding the psychology of Braj, what entails to be a Brajavasi from tip to toe in every single sense of the term. And eventually, if possible, we'll try to make full circle and try to conclude about how Gaur Lila is not only like the pearly gates to Vrindavan, but also like a goal unto itself. It's not only a bridge, but a destination. And the very the most natural extension of Krishna Lila. Krishna Lila is showing itself in a very unique form, as we know it, as this Gaur Katha. Also, I'm sharing with you some of the ideas that are coming to me. And as you may know, I've been writing a book recently, but that's the problem with writing, that you end up writing a book, you're publishing the book, and the moment you're publishing the book, you're already thinking about the next book. So I'm kind of out of date, because I'm supposed to promote what I've written recently, but my mind is more in what I want to write next. And that's quite connected to this topic of Gaur Lila, Gaur Katha as a means and as a goal unto itself. As we spoke yesterday, bhakti is also, we could say in the same way, we have sadhana bhakti, we have sadhya bhakti, bhakti asanjatiya bhaktiya, bhakti takes to bhakti and bhakti and further bhakti, and the goal of bhakti is enhanced bhakti ad infinitum. So similarly, Gaur Lila could be seen in this connection. It's the giver of Krishna Lila, but when you go deep into Krishna Lila, you find yourself in Gaur Lila eventually. My Guru Maharaj would like to say, the more you go deep into Gaur Lila, the more you immerse in Gaur Lila, you emerge in Krishna Lila. But the more you go deep in Krishna Lila, you emerge in Gaur Lila. Now, this is circular transcendental reasoning. So let's try to share some thoughts about that. So to begin with, again, Gaur Lila as the giver, Gaur Tattva as the giver. That's pretty clear from this beautiful illustration by Shyamarani Didi. Sri Gaur Nityananda, on one side celebrating existence, not totally absorbing in Sankirtan, which is basically the celebration of the overflowing of one's own fullness, extending itself to others. That's how I like to conceive the idea of preaching. Preach is not so much I'll try to convince you about something that I'm not yet as much convinced either, but I'm so convinced and so filled by what I'm doing that it starts to overflow me and sprinkle other people. And that sprinkle we call prachar, basically. It's a very special type of achar, pra-achar. So when you behave in a very nice way, when you embrace the process substantially, that starts to overflow in you, and that naturally converts others, like in epidemic flow, if you will. That was the style of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu generally converted the greatest personalities without saying too much. No? He converted the greatest logician in India just by Mauna Vrat. No? He sat for a week and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was totally... He then says some things like checkmate, but just as a matter of like, well, I have to say something. But he was already converted by Mahaprabhu's silence. But his achara was so powerful that he didn't even need to say too much. He transformed the heart of Venkatabhata by joking a little bit. No? he converted Prakashananda Sarasvati just by sitting on one side, being totally humble. Again, he said something here and there, but the main prachar was his achar, and that's pra-achar. So in this way, Gaur Nityananda, as we know, very special achar, therefore very special prachar, very special distribution of what's filling their hearts. That's what we call Audarya Rasa for sure. Prema Rasa Niryas Kuriti Ashrodan Raga Marga Bhakti Lok Kuriti Prachanam. Now there we have the word prachar again. So they are tasting something, and by extension that becomes their natural dispensation. So we glorify Mahaprabhu very specially by being the giver of Krishna Lila and being the giver of a very unique approach or conception to Krishna Lila. Unnata Uchbala Rasam Svabhakti Sriyam, as you may know. We don't have time to enter into details of this verse that may take us, well, eternity basically, and we are ready for that. That's the idea. Ananta Kata Arasasin. Ananta Kata means eternity is waiting for you to keep, I mean, to keep going. Satatam kirtayantamam katayantastamam nityam nityam bhagavata sivaya kirtaniya sadahari sadanityam, and so on. So, but from this side we can conceive in this way, you know, Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda, Sri Man Mahaprabhu, Gaur Lila, Gaur Tattva is giving us Krishna Lila. That's one take. Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati has said that very famously in his Yatayata Gaura Padaravindam Vindeta Bhaktim Krita Punya Rasi Tatatata Sarpati Hridya Kasra Radha Padambhoja Sudambhu Rasi. So basically he's saying the more you go deep into the service of Sriman Mahaprabhu, in brief words, the more you emerge, again as we mentioned, in the service of the feet of Sri Radha, basically. Or the more you go deep into Gaur Lila, the more you emerge into Krishna Lila. That's the main, the first part we are mentioning here, basically. So in that sense, we can conceive Gaur Lila is the entry point to Krishna Lila. In Gaur Lila, we find the very members of Krishna Lila behaving in a very generous way to us. We have their Nitya Siddha Ragatmika Brajavasis, but appearing in the role of perfected sadhakas. Some one name for Nitya Navadvip, or for Navadvip is Sadhaka Siddha Bhumi, or the land where siddhas are acting as sadhakas. Try to imagine what's that. As my Guru Maharaj likes to say, in that realm, every single thing that Shastra is saying that could possibly happen in connection to bhakti is happening there at every single moment. For example, you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. In 1 millisecond, you attain perfection by Sadhu Sangha. That comes real. Because here it may sound like an exaggeration. You say, like, I'm in 30 years and still perfection, not even a hint of perfection knocking my door. I mean, in Nityanavadip, that's already there. You chant one half a syllable of Srinam, you pass out. Nityanavadip is the realm for that. In this realm, with all the siddhas are acting as sadhakas, just the less minimum contact with bhakti creates the most astonishing results. No? So that's a very exciting prospect. No? I mean, once someone asked me, Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, Vrindavan Lila sounds exciting, but Guru Lila sounds, there's not that all that like intrigue and my Guru Maharaj tried to explain this point. I mean, imagine, you chant a little bit and this happens. You associate with the bhakta for a moment, this happens. Does it sound exciting enough yet? And of course we are experiencing very generously here and now the very extension of this Gaur Lila, this Sankirtan Lila. So we are especially blessed in this Dhanya Kali, in this age, which is a special Kali Yuga, which although as the Bhagavad says, Kalerta Sanidera Jamastika Mahadam, Kali Yuga is the worst of the worst, but the best of the best, paradoxically. So according to how you deal with the age, you are in the best possible situation or in the worst possible moment of existence. So hopefully we make sense of our free will somehow. So in Navadi, therefore, we find these siddhas acting, behaving as sadhakas, perfected sadhakas, and most interestingly, God himself appearing as a perfect sadhaka, basically. Sri Braj Krishna appearing as Sri Gaur Krishna, Anta Krishna Vahi Gauram, Srila Jiva Swami will say, endowed with the luster of Sri Radha, halo, Sri Radha Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say. And, as we know, having a very special project in mind, as we will speak, trying to taste the depths of Radha Bhava and trying to know himself from her perspective. That's a very interesting project in the life of the Godhead, in his agenda. He's realizing, she's seeing something in me that makes me realize that I'm special, but I cannot fully fathom that unless I change the vantage point and see myself through her eyes. So that's, in brief, Gaur-lila, and there Mahaprabhu is giving a higher thing, basically the extension of his own experience to those who deserve it the less. That's why he's known as Mahavadanya Avatar, or Mahavadanya Avatari, because for us, Sri Gaur is not different from Krishna, who is the source of all avatar or divine descent. As Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj will say, for someone to be labeled as Mahavadanya, it has to have these two conditions. It has to be given the highest thing, and you know the second part. Even to Swami Padmanabha. That's how the quote finishes. Even to the lowest of lowest, basically. That's it. Yeah. The highest thing, even to the one who deserves it the less. So that's a very interesting notion. The notion of causeless mercy, the notion of... I mean, once I was thinking that actually we say causeless mercy, it's very delicate, the expression, because very subtly we may conclude causeless mercy is synonymous with priceless mercy. I don't have anything to pay. But it's not like that. The fact that it's causeless, it makes the price even higher. You follow? Because try to think about this. You are receiving something, which is the highest thing, when you deserve it in the less, you are in the worst possible position to deserve it. That's especially coming to you in that moment when you deserve the less. And the more you try to reciprocate to that, the more that is extending to you. So, and you will never be able to pay enough to say, okay, now I deserve that. Because if you deserve it, it's no longer mercy, basically. If you say cost, how do you say? No, what's the opposite of costless? Cost. Mercy or whatever. It's an oxymoron. No? Annihilates the other world. So to live for eternity under the shelter of something that you will never deserve, no matter what you do, that requires lots of humility. Because ego generally wants to deserve something. No? I did it myself, I deserved it. So when you are invited to a prospect, what you will never deserve what you are receiving, ever. And the more you advance, the more you will realize that. I mean, you need to develop corresponding level of humility to deal with that. Because if not for the ego, it's too much. I want to deserve something. So then you are thrown back into the realm of cause and effect, where you deserve stuff. I did it myself. This is the result. You did it yourself. It's not that extraordinary, basically. No? So this is the mood of Mahaprabhu. When Sri Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha, as we say yesterday, when we were describing the one possibility of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad, this is described by Atul Krishna Goswami. He was a very well-known scholar and devotee of Sri Radha Raman, of the Radha Raman school. He will describe the word Srimad, interestingly. He says, of course, the apex of the Bhagavatam, and we are going there now, to Krishna Lila from Gaur Lila, the apex of the Bhagavatam, of course, is Rasa Panchadhyaya, and there we will find Sri Radha's Mahabhavas, the ultimate deliverance there. So one name for one possibility of the name of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says Radha Bhagavatam. Because Srimad has to do with the Mad of Sri for Bhagavan. Sri Radha, Mad, madness for Bhagavan. So that's what the Bhagavatam is about ultimately. About her madness for him, if you will. And ultimately, what we find is that in Gaur-lila. Gaur-lila is Krishna totally possessed by her madness, and in madness you do mad things, basically. Like, for example, no? Throwing something indiscriminately, you say? Mm-hmm. Like the highest thing, throwing. The example given sometimes is one lady who is married with a billionaire, but this lady at one moment becomes mad, has some fit. She starts to take all the jewels, a big part of her most valuable jewels, she goes to the rooftop of the house and starts throwing all the jewels from the rooftop. So downstairs, no, like homeless people like us are walking, and suddenly one sapphire, suddenly one Ujbalni Laman is a blazing sapphire coming. Oh my. I mean, I don't deserve that for sure, but they are falling from the sky like nothing. And the husband, when he's seeing his wife totally mad throwing the jewel, he's okay because he knows we are billionaires. You can throw all you want. There's more to throw. So it's okay. So basically, that's the situation. No? This crazy damsel is Sri Radha throwing the Mahaprabhu in the mood of the crazy lady Sri Radha throwing the jewels of Prem. No? And we are, of course, in the whole story, we are the homeless. I mean, at least myself is the homeless people that suddenly, you know, without home, without knowing where is home, basically. Srimbantu Vishve Amritasya Putra, as the Veda is saying. Oh, universe, here, Srimbantu Vishve Amritasya Putra. You are sons of nectar, as Vilasyamara will say. Your land has to do with immortality, Amrit, and nectar, especially. So, in this way, we could say Gaur Lila, Mahaprabhu, in this particular mood, is giving Krishna Lila, is giving Krishna Prem, like giving nectar like water, basically. Srila Sri Maharaj will say that in connection to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he gave nectar like if it were water. It was like showering the whole universe with that. So Gaur Lila is the giver, if you want, to begin with. Now let's go to Krishna Lila as the gift. Now how one thing is connected to the other. So to begin with, some brief words regarding the psychology of Braj, to further appreciate what Braj is about. And I like always to invoke one very nice verse from a chapter 10, Canto Damodar Lila, that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur considers the Paribhas Sutra of Krishna Lila, interestingly. We have the Paribhas Sutra of Bhagavatam, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. Paribhas Sutra means like a very condensed statement, a sutra, aphorism, if you will. And Paribhas means like around which the rest of the text has to be seen in connection to. I mean, that line regulates the whole narrative of the whole world. So whatever is said here and there, you have to understand in connection to that statement that may seem brief, but is totally significant. So he's saying that in connection to this verse, verse 45, for those who like to do further research, chapter 8 of 10th canto, Traya Chupanishabdischa Sankhya Yogascha Sattva Traya Pagiya Mana Mahatmyan Harim Samanya Tatmajam. Very simple verse, but very nice. There, Sri Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Sri Krishna is glorified, Upagiya Mana Mahatmyan. His glories, his Mahatmyan, are glorified in the Upanishads, in the text about Sankhya Yoga, in the Sattvata Samhita, Pancharatra, Agamas, all these sacred scriptures, these very sober revealed statements are glorifying Hari as Bhagavan. But Harim Samanya Tatmaja, but for her, and her is Yashoda in this case, because the narrative is Damodar Lila, for her, he is her son. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this verse is regulating the whole narrative of Krishna Lila. Whenever you speak about Krishna Lila, you have to go back to this verse. In other words, yeah, for many people, Krishna is God. Not for her. That's a very interesting idea, because in one sense, one part of Shastra is saying Krishna is God, but if you go to Vrindavan and ask Yashoda, I mean, be careful with that. No? You go to Yashoda like Uddhava and tell her, you know what, your Lala, your darling, he's actually the Supreme, he's the Absolute. Be ready for her reaction, basically. And her reaction not only will be, he's not, but will be, even if he is, that's secondary. He may be God. He may be all the things he wants. Children want to be so many things. The president of the states, and temple president, sannyasi. Sannyasi is a child I want to be sannyasi anymore. God, I don't care. First, he's my son. Nanda Maharaj replied like this to Uddhava. He wanted to convince him, your son is the absolute. And Nanda said, I thought you were wise. You have this reputation of being very sage, very wise. But now I realize that you are a fool. You are telling that Krishna, my son, is God. But eventually he'd say, well, even if he is, first he's my son. Try to imagine that psychology. That someone say, maybe he is God, but that's secondary. First he's my son, and I need to educate him, because if not, he will be spoiled. So if I need to chastise him, I will do. Speaking like a madman, you can imagine Uddhava how was taking that particular darshan. So this verse from the Bhagavatam is regulating the whole narrative of the 10th canto, which is about Krishna, but Krishna in Braj, Mathura, and Dwarka. But all that the 10th canto is saying about Krishna, it has to be seen in the context of this verse, which says, yeah, although he's all this stuff that all the scriptures are saying, for Yashoda, he's something else, something more. So the Upanishads say he's God, Yashoda will say he's not God. Who is right of the two? No? That's why for us the Bhagavad is about all other Shastras, because the Bhagavatam ultimately saying Krishna is God, but he's something beyond God, actually. As I like to say, he's God beyond God. Or God is an aspect of Krishna, not the opposite. No? Sometimes I hear devotees saying, Krishna is God. Yeah, on some level, of course, we have to learn the tattva and the siddhanta. Krishna is two Bhagavan, so yeah. But we have to learn that Krishna is God, so we someday forget that Krishna is God, in one sense, and start to see him in through the Bhava Netra, through the eyes of divine emotion, basically. Hmm? So, yes, the Bhagavatam say Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam, and specifically for us is Braja Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna who is the source of all phases of divinity is he who is basically the son of Nanda. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajese Tanajas Tathama Vrindavan. Brajese Tanajas, he's the son of Nanda. That's the Krishna we worship particularly, because there are many Krishnas also. There are many conceptions of Krishna. Once someone asked Srila Sridhar Maharaj, have you seen Krishna? No? Be prepared for his answer. And he said, the Krishna that I want to see is not that easy to see, he said. No? Like implying there are many Krishnas. There are many levels of Krishnas. There are many conceptions of Krishnas. And we want very specific. I mean, Raga Bhakti is, as I like to say, the path of specificity. It's very specific. Very specific. So eventually that has to be there more and more and more. And our Krishna is very specific. And so on. So that's a very unique contribution of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Such a refined conception of the divine. This idea of Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, the Srila Jiva Goswami say, the whole Bhagavatam, and for him it's the whole Vedic canon and the whole Shastric revelation, revolves around this little line. And someone may say, you are making too much out of a little line. I say, it's too much what is in this little line. I'm not making it. It's there. And he writes Krishna Sandarbha to show. Here is a whole treatise about Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, to see how much is there, basically. No? So that's the God we worship, eventually. No? That's the contribution of our Goswamis. Different ways they have shown this, how Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam, in the words of Sri Rupa Goswami, Akila Rasamrita Murti, based on the Upanishads, Rasu Vaisaha, Rasamhiya Vadam, Ladbanam Libhavati. Krishna's Rasa, Braja Krishna is the source of all divinity. Brahma Stuti, that's a very important section of the Bhagavatam when Sri Brahma himself is establishing how Narayan is an aspect of Krishna, which is something totally... I mean, for us it's normal. From day one we hear Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam, but if you travel in time to the beginnings of the Sampradaya and so on, the idea was not that one. I mean, Krishna was as much an avatar of Narayan, and the Gaudiyas are starting with this unique notion and showing how it's already in the scripture, these ideas, and how Narayan is actually an aspect of Krishna. And people will, I mean, not easy to digest for many, but it's there. That's there, basically. I'm presenting this unique prospect of divinity, you know, Vrindavan, and the Madhurya of Braj. Again, the Audarya of Gaur and Nityananda is has to do with the deliverance of the intimacy of the Brajadham, where we find a very unique prospect again. In one sense, many people say Narayan is God, and we will come and say Krishna is the source of Narayan, but ultimately we will agree with the Sri Sampradaya. Narayan is God. Because in Vrindavan, Narayan is God. Krishna is not God. So at the end, the Sri Vaishnavas were right. if you go to Braj, I mean, Nanda Maharaj is worshipping his Narayan Sila every day. No? He's practicing Vaidhi Bhakti in Golok, following rules and regulations, but his mind is somewhere else. No? Like sometimes it happens, we are worshipping the deity and the mind is somewhere else. Nanda Maharaj is worshipping Vishnu and his mind is somewhere else. But that somewhere else is Krishna, of course. That's another somewhere else. No? So in Vrindavan, Krishna is not worshipped. Narayan is worshipped. Krishna is loved. So that's the difference. But Narayan is worshipped for the sake of Krishna. I mean, they'll worship Narayan like nothing. But all in the context of may Krishna be protected, they invoke Narayan, Kavat, Nisrim, Kakavat, when he's going daily to the Go, etc. Kocharan, Leela. And Narayan is a big part of the Leela, just for you to develop some affinity for for his worship in that particular context. And the other interesting, among many interesting features of Braj, is that whenever Krishna, who again, he's not seen as Narayan in Vrindavan, but he exhibits some whatever, Narayan-like features, no? Like some godliness. Godliness, you say? No? Divinehood and so on. The interesting aspect and attribute in the psychology of the Brajavas is that instead of they taking a distance and they diluting their bhav for Krishna in those moments, their madhurya or their intimacy just increases. No? If Krishna behaves in Nara-lila, no? In human-like way, their madhurya increases for him. If Krishna shows Aishwarya, lifting Govardhan for a week in front of everyone, that's pretty Aishwaric. I mean, imagine your child, your little girl raises a mountain that it takes 6 hours to circumambulate with the smallest finger of the less powerful hand for a week, just normally. And you will start to have some doubts about her ontological position, basically. Is she my daughter? No? But the unique psychology of the Brajavasis is totally different. Yashoda will start feeding Krishna because he may be weak to sustain the hill for a week. No? His friends will say, hey, Krishna, pass the hill to Sridham because we know you are not as strong as him. So at any moment, the hill may start falling. So give it to your friend. He's more powerful than you. Like, so in the midst of this shown explicit exhibition of Aishwarya, their intimacy just grows. That's the psychology of Braj. No matter if you put on their waist, Madhurya or Aishwarya, their Madhurya is only increasing. Krishna does something sweet and intimate, their intimacy increases. Krishna does something totally extraordinary, their intimacy increases. No? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives that example of the lion that is feeding on the elephant. No? Like giving, like you put obstacles on the way, the obstacles are only giving further strength. No? Basically, that's the nature. Hari Bhagati Premnashra Bhavaputi Lava Betsi Sri Rupa Hushval Nilamani. Love moves like a snake. And there are different ways to understand that. No? You can say in a crooked way, it's unpredictable, and so on. But also once Srila Siddhamara say, love moves like a snake because on its way it's like encompassing everything, embracing everything and integrating everything and making it that part of a higher equation, if you will. Like a synthesis. No matter what you put on the way, the Brajavasis incorporate everything as part of their Madhurya equation and their intimacy grows and grows and grows. So you can imagine. And of course, among the Brajavasis, the Brajavasi per excellence, if you will, the one who personifies ultimately all that Brajabhava is about, is Mahabhava Swarupini Sri Radha Thakurani. With all that it implies, basically. No? So, and it has very deep implications, because as you know, Krishna Vrindavan only lives to reciprocate with his devotees. Even Krishna outside of Vrindavan, Narayan himself is saying that He's saying, aham bhakta paradino. That's not I am speaking. That's not Braja Krishna. Famous verse of the Bhagavatam. What Narayana is saying, I have no independence, I belong to me, my devotees, I'm controlled by them. That's Vishnu and Vaikuntha. That's pretty interesting, because you might think, oh, that's Krishna speaking. That's Vishnu. So imagine if Vishnu is saying that in Vaikuntha, how much you have to multiply the meaning of that senses, the sentence, and apply that to Krishna and Vrindavan. I mean, it's like some new verse have to be composed to represent all that, and of course our acharya have done that. So Krishna Vrindavan is basically that, no? As my Guru Maharaj likes to say, he's the absolute Brahman, overwhelmed by his Swarup Shakti, totally captured by the influence of his own internal potency in the form of his devotees, and only living to reciprocate with them. That's Krishna's only job, if you will. He has nothing else to do than to reciprocate in love. Not like we were saying yesterday about Sri Krishna Prem, this personality that was looking for God and went to India and say, well, I will find God here. And he was more confused because he found Brahma, Shiva, Saraswati, Ganesh. I say, where is God now? I mean, there's so many possibilities. But he started to examine all of them and say, Brahma is creating, Shiva is meditating, all of them are doing something. He reached Krishna, he's not doing anything. He concluded, he must be God. Very, he had some past bhakti samskar for concluding like this. He said, he's not doing anything. He's just enjoying life. He has to be God. He's playing. He's enjoying. He's God. That was his conclusion. And he became, of course, a devotee. He became the first Western devotee in India in the beginning of the 1930s or something. No? Some decades before Prabhupada came here. So, so the idea is that, no? I mean, Krishna is only living to reciprocate with the love of the Brajavasis, especially with the love of Sri Radha. But the point is, that's not so easy. No? At one point, as we will see, he has some problems with that. This was stated by Brahmaji himself in the after the Brahma Vimohan Lila comes the Brahma Stuti, all these prayers of Brahmaji after his foreheads were spinning like nothing, totally overwhelmed. And at one point he witnesses the degree of love in Vrindavan, and of course he's totally, he says, Ahovagyam Ahovagyam Nanda Gopa Brajokasam Yan Mitram Paramanam Punna Brahma Sanatanam. He says, oh, how fortunate. He says, Ahovagyam Ahovagyam, how fortunate are these Brajavasis, because he who is Purna Brahma Sanatana, the all complete absolute and so on, has now become their friend. He's the absolute, Brahma has this gyan, but they are treating him like a friend on equal terms. And then he says a few verses after, I don't have a clue, I'm totally overwhelmed to begin with. What other, like, how do you say in English, like reward other than you is there possible? You are the embodiment of all prices, Brahma says. So there's nothing higher than you. But on the other side, I see, how will you reciprocate to the Brajavasis? Because Putana approached you, as we know, dressed like a devotee, but she wanted to kill you in the worst possible way. And you gave yourself to her to the point of giving her a position in the Vatsalya camp, which is totally like... That's not sadhana city, precisely. I will do my sadhana, I will put my sari, that's my sadhana, okay, throw it to Golok. Of course there is something Putana's past life and so on, but nonetheless it falls into the category of kripa city, winning the lottery in the context of bhakti, without playing the lottery. So, avakyam sanagalagutan and so on, like, kambanda yadushana namrajima. So Brahma is saying here, you gave Vatsalya to Putana, you gave yourself in that way to her, and she approached with such an intention. So now I wonder, Brahma is saying, how will you reciprocate to the Brajavasis, who gave themselves to you, their bodies, their homes, their families, their everything? I cannot think of a way that you can reciprocate to them. Interestingly, Brahma is here hinting at what will be the result of Gaur Lila, which is Krishna's realizing, I cannot repay back my debt of love. So here Brahma is asking in the Brahma Sutta, I don't know how you will pay back. And Krishna doesn't say anything at that point. He also remains like, I don't know either. He starts to think like, what's Krishna's answer to this? He's not saying that immediately. He doesn't have an answer. I'll pay back. I can pay. No. He in the Bhagavad Gita, as we know, he said, Yatamam prapadyanti tam satay. According to how you approach me, I reciprocate. That's Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna contradicts himself according to what he says in Bhagavad Gita. Because in the Bhagavatam, he will find, I cannot reciprocate this. I have to break my vow. He's used to do that sometimes. In the context of accepting a higher vow, there's no real breaking of any vow, technically speaking. Mm-hmm. So, which is Krishna's reply to this question of Brahma? That will come some few chapters after, which is in the Rasa Panchadhyaya that we spoke before, the zenith of the Bhagavad. Mm-hmm. As you know, I won't enter into the details of the whole unfolding of the Rasa Lila, but eventually Krishna is there, calls the gopis, start the Rasa dance, and eventually Krishna disappears, goes with Radha, as we know, and intimately he's with her, engaged in Sringar Seva. Sringar has to do with romantic love, but Sringar also means, like, how do you say in English? Ornamentation. So he's decorating her, he's serving Sri Radha. That's the God we worship. No? We worship a servant God, a God who worships God, a love, basically. Srila Prabhupada will say, every religion teaches God is the most worshipable object, but we teach who is the most worshipable object of God. No? Who is in God's altar? God's in the altar, but God has his own altar. So we are interested in that, basically. No? What's the object of worship of God? And that's love. That's the goal of life. That's the goal of life for us, Prem, and that's the goal of life for Krishna. I mean, Krishna is already there, but Prem can always be attained in more upgraded forms. Pratipadam purnam brita ashradanam. There's no end to that. So that's the God we worship. We worship a God who worships love, who puts his head on the feet of the personification of love. That's why our goal is not Krishna, with all due respect to Krishna. Our goal is Krishna Prem. And Krishna will be the happiest one when hearing that. If you say to Krishna, my goal is you, he will be sad, basically. So, no, I would like that you share the same goal I have, he will say. My goal is Prem, hopefully your goal is Prem as well. So that's our prayojan. To worship that God who touches the feet, put his head on the ground, on the feet of love. Dehi pada palavam udaram. We know this famous line of Gita Govinda, Jayadeva Goswami was composing it, and at one point inspiration comes to describe the scene where Krishna is putting his head on the feet of Sri Radha. He said, no, this is too much. I have eaten too many gulab jamuns, and I have too much sugar, too many. I will stop writing. I will have a walk, and I'll return to my. And as we know, he leaves the house, and Krishna appears as Jayadeva Goswami. He has lunch there, and eventually Jayadev returns and sees his wife eating and says, why have you started eating and didn't wait for me? What do you say? You already had lunch an hour ago. I was like, what? And he looks on the side and what he was writing, and he closed in a certain way, he was open. So he goes and he says, Dehi Pada Palavamudan. Krishna himself came to confirm, yes, I put my head on her feet. Rasa gana mohana murtim vichitra kili mahatsa bolasitam radha chanana viloditam ruchirasi khandam harim bande, says Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati. Very nice pranam mantra to Krishna. I offer pranam to Sri Krishna, who is rasa gana mohana murtim. He's the most condensed form of rasa, more charming. Well, when his feet decorated with a peacock feather is rolling on the ground at the feet of Sri Radha, he said, that's the Krishna I offer pranam to. No, the one who is on the floor rolling in ecstasy with his head at the feet of Sri Radha, basically. And that's why, as you may know, the peacock feather Krishna is having, if you pay close attention, you can find your Guru Maharaj has mentioned that. No, the name of Sri Radha is there. No, that's a public statement Krishna is doing. I always keep this above my head, forever. I put love above my head. That's his statement, basically, his principles. So basically my point was, Krishna was decorating Sri Radha. Eventually he disappears, as we know. The gopis meet Sri Radha. Gopi Gita begins, the song of separation of the gopis. And Krishna is witnessing all this. We know he disappeared from her group, from their group, with different intentions, trying to showcase their love to the world, trying to see how their love erupts in separation, grows in separation. But there's a new purpose that comes when he's witnessing what's going on, when the gopis are expressing their love and separation. That it was not in Krishna's agenda, but comes at that moment when he's as Tamal Krishna, camouflaged behind a tamal tree, witnessing the Virahotsav, or the festival of separation of the gopis. And what's that? He's seeing Radha's love, who is leading the kirtan, the Gopi Gita. She's leading the Viraha kirtan in such a way that Radha's prem is starting to blossom to such a degree that in Krishna comes this idea. I want to taste what she's tasting. I want to understand myself better through her own eyes. In one sense, that's the birth of Gaur Lila in Krishna Lila. Of course, Gaur Lila is an eternal reality, but somehow we connect one thing to the other. As the Bhagavad Gita concludes, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, the Bhagavatam starts Dharma Pradita Kaitavo, and the Bhagavatam finishes Nama Sankirtanam Jasya, Gaur Lila begins. So in this way we can connect the height of Krishna Lila Bhagavatam, Gaur Lila is their beginning. So then we have Sri Krishna, again, wanting to taste Radha Bhavas. My Guru Maharaj would like to say, here we have Krishna Rasaraj, the king of Rasa, but witnessing, a degree of Rasa that is unknown to me. So am I Rasaraj or I am not Rasaraj? Because she's tasting something I do not know. So then Krishna is thrown into an existential crisis, my Guru Maharaj will say. When Krishna himself is questioning, am I Rasaraj or not? Am I God or not? She's with tasting something unknown to me. So as we know, Krishna reappears after the gopis finish the Gopi Gita with his pitambara around his neck like a criminal begging forgiveness. And now comes Krishna's reply to Brahma's question in the Brahma Vimohan Lila. How will you pay the Vrajavas? Now Krishna is somehow finding some words. And he will, as I mentioned, break his promise of the Gita and confess, I cannot pay you back. He will say, na parayaham nirabhadya samjayam swasadu krityam vibudhaya sapiva jamava jandurjaragiha shrinkala samrishya tadba pratyato sadhana. Very beautiful verse, there's Krishna, and very beautiful explanation of Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna is saying there, basically in brief, I cannot repay back your love. I say that in the Gita, I will repay back. But in your case, he's saying to the gopis and Radha in particular, your love is so big that I cannot even fathom, you say in English, fathom how much is the debt. What to speak of paying back the debt? For paying the debt, you first have to know how much you owe. But if the debt is so big that you don't have even a clue how much you owe, I mean, what to speak of paying that? So Krishna is expressing this idea. Let your own love for me, let love be its own reward, basically. That's the conclusion of this verse. Love is its own reward. And Krishna says, I'm an eternal debtor. But at the same time, I cannot just remain quiet. Okay, I'm an eternal debtor, your love is its own reward. Nonetheless, I want to try to do something about it. Try to pay back in some way or another. So Sri Sanatana Goswami Pad say, once in a day of Brahma, I will come in the garb of a sadhu, and I will chant your glories, and I speaking to Sri Radha, and I will try to make devotees for you. And in this way, I will try to at least diminish a little bit my debt. Although probably, the more I try to reciprocate, the more it will increase. That's how it works. No? The only way we can free ourselves from the karmic debt is to acquire another type of debt with the bhakti department. And the more we advance, the more that debt will increase. And that means the more sheltered we will be, basically. So that's the beginning, if you will, of Gaur Lila, now where Krishna is officially saying, I will come as a sadhu once in a day of Brahma. Basically, of course, that's Sriman Mahaprabhu in the Gaur Lila. So this is the birth, if you will, of Gaur Lila. And when is the Gaur Lila appearing? Just in the apex of Krishna Lila. There's no higher point of Krishna Lila than Rasa Lila. And this particular emotional moment when Krishna expresses this, Gaurlilas appear, and they're like an extension or re-flourishing of Krishna Lila, if you will. So, in one sense, we can see again Gaurlila as the giver of Krishna Lila, but here we are seeing Krishna Lila in its highest point giving Gaurlila, basically, like the most natural extension of Krishna Lila. So, in this way, there's one nice verse I'll just mention. There's this verse of Prabhupada says, the more you go deep into Gaurlila, you end up in Krishna Lila. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one verse in Sarvabhauma Sataka. I haven't learned that one yet. But it says basically the same thing, but the opposite. The more you go deep in Krishna Lila, you merge in Gaurlila. Like indicating this type of cyclical dynamics. So, if I have a few minutes, I would like to conclude saying some words regarding how, again, Gaurlila now is not only the giver of Krishna Lila, but also is the gift of Krishna Lila. No? He's giving us Krishna Lila, but Krishna Lila is also giving us Gaurlila, basically. So, in this way, we find ourselves back in Gaurlila now, but from the perspective not so much of Gaurlila as a mere bridge to Krishna Lila, but as it is called sometimes Parishista Lila. Parishista means like appendix, like in a book you have the appendix, or you close the book, but there is some afterthought that will really make full circle. So Gaurlila is what makes Krishna Lila complete. My Guru Maharaj likes to say poetically, actually Krishna Lila is a failure. He can say that. Like implying, there were some things remaining in Krishna Lila that Krishna didn't experience fully, and Gaurlila is there to complete Krishna Lila. I mean, it's Krishna Lila, but in an upgraded form. Krishna Lila 2.0, no? In contemporary terms, if you will. Or Parishista Lila, the appendix-like Lila of Krishna Lila. Krishna in his most upgraded form. Sometimes I like to say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Krishna. No? Is Krishna extending his own experience of his own personality, knowing himself more fully through the lens of Radha Bhakti. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan, or something like that. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes Mahaprabhu very nicely in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He calls him Paratattva Simha. Paratattva Simha means the highest limit of the Absolute Truth. Like the highest reach where the Absolute can express itself. He says that's Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this way Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very unique contribution that very nicely like develops what the Goswami Granth has given us. Of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita can be also considered Goswami Granth. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a development of who Mahaprabhu is, the ontology of Gaur Tattva, that is not explicitly present in other books. That's why Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will say, all the books can disappear, even the Bhagavatam, he will say. But if we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, nothing is lost. Of course, Bhagavatam is there. All the in-between-the-lines implications of the Bhagavatam can be more explicitly seen in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami makes it clear from the very beginning. In the very Mangala Charan of Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the end he ends up glorifying Mahaprabhu in a very unique way. When he says, what is Sadaishvare Purna Jaiha Bhagavansa Swayamayam Na Chaitanya Krishna Jagati Paratattvam Paramiha. So he's saying Krishna is Sadaishvare Purna Bhagavan. And then he says, but Mahaprabhu is that same Krishna, and there's no truth higher or equal to this Mahaprabhu, he's saying. So very nicely he's, again, with this I'm not saying Krishna versus Mahaprabhu, please do not create that duality in your mind, because we are speaking about the same person in two different emotional dispositions, if you will. Sometimes example is given of, for those who have been in India, you will follow this example, and I imagine it's a very enduring example, especially if you are in Parikram, on some hot season, of the sugar cane juice that they are selling on the Parikram path when you are about to die, basically. And you need 108 of those to continue. So you have this sugar cane machine that they are like, how do you say, squeezing? Yeah. This sugar.
Pressing,
yeah. So you put the sugar cane there and it's squeezing it and it gives some juice. But they take again the same sugar cane, a second round, a little bit more. Third time, a little bit more. So we can give this analogy. You know, you first sugar cane, Narayan conception is coming. Squeeze it more. Okay, Sri Ram coming. Some extra ingredients from Ajodhya Patka and so on. We will speak of that in Ramnavami. Put it a little bit more. Krishna is coming. Dwarkesh Krishna, a little bit more. Mathuresh Krishna, a little bit more. Braj Krishna. Is there a place for one more glass?
We put some lemon and mint afterwards.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Salt is also sometimes there for those who want.
Black salt.
But the last experience of the sugar cane, if you will, of the squeezing, Mahaprabhu is coming there. No? Like the ultimate squeezing of the absolute, if you want to call it in those terms. No? And again, Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila is same Lila, Braj, Navdu is the same personality, but in different motional disposition. My Guru Maharaj likes to compare that to a reversible jacket. He would say, like, if you have a jacket who is yellow, but it has black sleeves, but it's yellow, and you put it the other way, it's black and it has golden sleeves. So there are different proportions of the colors or of the emotions that are represented by colors. But it's the same jacket, just one or the other, basically. Mm. And there is place for all this experience. Prabodhananda Sarasvati is expressing so much, I don't know, devotion to Sri Radha and his Radha Rasa Sudhanidhi, but if you study his Chaitanya Chandramrita, he will express so much love for Mahaprabhu to the point of saying, I'm finding more attractive Mahaprabhu than Krishna, basically. No? And he's saying very, his bold style of expressiveness, for those who know it. But at the same time, there is place for affinity and for different natures. Srila Siddhartha Maharaj would say, some people will have more affinity to Krishna Lila, Braja Lila. Some people will have more affinity to Gaur Lila. Some people will have more affinity to the two Lilas at the same time. And we are not here like calculating who is the best, who is the winner or the loser. As Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami will say very nicely in Chaitanya Charitamrita, every devotee will feel that his own bhava, his own relationship with Bhagavan is the best, and everyone is right. That's an interesting idea of what's objective and subjective. Of course, objectively speaking, we could say this is the highest thing, or this is the sweetest thing. No? I don't know, you can say Radhasyam is the sweetest experience, but not everyone likes sweet that much, or that much sweet. Some say, objectively speaking, mango is the sweetest fruit. Okay, some say, but I like apple the most. I like grapes the most, subjectively speaking. So, it's okay. And everyone will say, this is the best for me. The problem is when you say, this is the best for me and for everyone else, it has to be the best. There we have something to be transcended there, hopefully. So in this way, just finishing this Gaur Lila, this Gaur Tattva is like the solution to the dilemma of Krishna. Krishna's having to solve his existential crisis, what to do. And Krishna has, as sometimes poetically we could say, Krishna Lila, Krishna experiences a lack of adhikar because he wants to taste Radha, but he's not finding the, so he needs to manifest other Lila, if you will. Gaur Lila is there. So Krishna inquires how to increase that adhikar, and Sri Radha, of course, is facilitating the experience. Sri Radha is Krishna's tutor, teacher, the Prema Vidyalai, the school of Prema, Mrs. Shagurunath Radhikar, Prema Mat. Krishna himself said that through the pen of Krishna Das. I'm a student in Krishna's school of dance, Prema dance, if you will. And her dance makes me dance many wonderful dances, basically. And that perfection that Krishna is attempting to attain as Mahaprabhu comes through sadhana. That's why Bhagavan himself appears as a perfected sadhaka, engaging himself in a very specific type of sadhana that corresponds with a very unique type of prayojan he wants to attain. And then Krishna becomes a sadhaka to attain his ultimate perfection, if you will, as Mahaprabhu, by the grace of his guru, Sri Radha, who in Gaur Lila interestingly appears as Gadadhar Pandit, but to speak about Gaur Gadadhar, that's another series of lectures, I think. But that's a very interesting point for sure. So, basically that we as sadhakas are extremely blessed, extremely fortunate to participate in this Gaur Tattva, Gaur Lila, in this unique creation of Mahaprabhu in the form of Sankirtan. Prem Sankirtan, Chaitanya Sri Sriyai Prem Sankirtan, the unique creation of Sriman Mahaprabhu. And again, being blessed not only with the unique possibility of the sweetness and intimacy of Braja Lila, but also with the extended version of it in the form of serving Mahaprabhu in Golok Navadvip, in Nitya Navadvip, as Bhaktivinod Thakur and other acharyas have shared with us. No? There's this possibility of two simultaneous spiritual identities. I know it's too much to think about that now, maybe. We are thinking about how to deal with our own identity here now. And you, Marasa, are speaking about two. I mean, let's go in sustainable installments, but the potential is there. So that's our great fortune. So some words I want to share with you today in connection to, again, Gaur Lila as a giver of the gift of Krishna Lila, but also Krishna Lila as a giver of a gift, Gaur Lila. So in this way we make full circle and find ourselves back here engaged in Gaur Lila, basically in the extension of Gaur Lila who comes to our life by the grace of Sri Guru Bhargava and the Vaishnava. So thank you so much for giving me the chance of trying to remain engaged in all this. Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Ramanju ki jai, Sri Bhaktavandav ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavandav ki jai, Gaur Premanand ki jai.